night and introduced me to her husband and children. They were clothed in something like long, colorful tapestries with a hole for the head and belted at the waist. And underneath were simple black shirts and pants. Her son started to ask me a math question, but Drusel interrupted him.
"That's very polite of you, Pentir, but you can dispense with the pleasantries in this case."
"Oh, apologies," he said.
"Not to worry. It's my pleasure to meet you all," I said.
"I'm so very grateful to you and the Alliance for engineering a successful escape,"
Drusel said.
"I'm well aware of the sacrifices you have made to free us, and I have promised you a significant amount of intelligence regarding Imperial codes and search patterns in return. The slicing programs for low-level Imperial encryption that I mentioned, as well as others. Where would you like me to download this information?"
"You can share it with R2, I said. "And he'll distribute it as necessary to the rest of the Alliance."
"Excellent. I will begin shortly. May I ask one more favor?"
"Go ahead."
"Considering that this location has been compromised, we will need transport off-planet. May we take the bounty hunter ship? Or might you take us back to the lagoon to secure another? We will settle somewhere else, and I will make contact with the Alliance to set up a continuing employment arrangement."
"You can take this ship," I assured her.
"Then I can arrange a dead drop site for you to use once you're safe,"
Derlin added. While Drusel huddled with R2 and transferred files from her hardware to his memory, and Derlin busied himself with getting his Corvette ready to depart, I transferred Nakari's body from the bounty hunter's craft to the Alliance vessel myself. We would stop at Pasher on the way back to the Rebel fleet, and I already knew there was no way to adequately communicate to her father my sorrow at her fate. Even if I could, it wouldn't matter. He would be as inconsolable as I was. For no matter how personally rich and powerful he became, no matter how he tried, he would never have the power to keep everyone safe. Nor would I. After farewells and promises of future contact, we lifted away from Omarith, leaving it to churn and spin in isolation. Major Derlin and his crew kept me occupied and accompanied for much of our very roundabout return to the fleet. But I found myself eating a lonesome bowl of noodles for lunch at some point in the ship's cavernous mess. R2 by my side, but unable to share food or much in the way of conversation. Thinking of my previous small victories with noodles made me miss Nakari again, and threatened to set my emotions aboil. But I also recollected the amusement of those times, and Nakari's delight in my progress in the Force. Or at least her delight in flying noodles. It occurred to me that I would honor her memory much more by continuing to improve rather than by wallowing in a swamp of regret. And that empty space inside me could be filled with pleasant memories instead of anger. The door to the mess was open, and I flicked my eyes that way, listening for a moment to make sure no one was nearby. Once satisfied that I'd be alone for at least a few more minutes, I closed my eyes and stretched out to the Force, recalling that feeling of confidence and encouragement Nakari had given me before. I focused on the fork, currently submerged beneath a carpet of noodles and a vegetable broth. It felt the way it used to, warm and kind, rather than that one time it had been cold and implacable. Gently lifting, feeling the Force supporting the fork, I floated up a glob of noodles and then guided it into my mouth, where I bit down and slurped a little bit, holding the fork between my teeth and opening my eyes to make sure this was really happening. I smiled around the fork, and some juice leaked out of the corners of my mouth, staining my tunic. Of course. That started me laughing. And R2 seesawed on his arms and tweeted his own amusement. I reached up with my hand to grab the fork before it got any worse. "That has to be the weirdest way to eat," I said to R2. but Nikari would have loved it. R2 chirped his agreement, and I took a deep breath and exhaled slowly, arriving at a clear, quiet place in my mind. Using the Force in this way was a gift Nikari had given me, and it would be senseless to let it go to waste. I would practice and think of her and get better at this. Much, much better. I would still prefer a teacher, of course, but Nikari showed me that progress is possible without one, and so I owe it to her and to Ben and everyone else I've lost and might lose in the future to make what strides I can. It might take me many years, but I am determined to become a Jedi, like my father.
This is Mark Thompson. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars, Heir to the Jedi, by Kevin Hearn. This program was directed by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer, Aaron Blank. Star Wars, Heir to the Jedi, is a production of Lucasfilm Limited and registered or trademarked where indicated. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production, copyright 2007, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Penguin Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.